For those who don't know me, my name's Tim. I'm one of the curates here. And this morning, I've been asked to speak on the subject of friendship, which is amazing because the last couple of weeks, I've been able to pray and think about my closest friends and how I have deeper friendships with them. And many of us will have close friends. We might have a bestie, or we might be in a bromance or a womance. That's a new term that I discovered this week. Or a term that I like to use, a relationship. You like it? I'm pleased. Well, I feel blessed to have some really deep relationships and friendships in my life. And there's a picture up there, and just to say, the dashing young man in the middle is me. Your eyes aren't mistaken. That's 21-year-old Tim on his wedding day. And this is a group of my closest friends. They're people that I love, I look up to, I respect, and they're people that know how to wind me up really well. They're people who know where I'm most vulnerable, and they also know how to love me really well. And today, we're going to be zooming into the special friendship that David and Jonathan had. And we can learn so much about the deep friendship that they had. It's the type of friendship that we aim for and we can pray for. And in that kind of long reading from 1 Samuel chapter 20, well done for sitting through that, it says in verse 17 that Jonathan loved David as himself. Jonathan was King Saul's son, who could have easily envied David for many reasons. He could have been anxious about David's popularity with the people and the fact that they might have wanted him to be the king over Judah and Israel. But instead, he didn't envy David. He deeply loved David as his friend. And David and Jonathan's friendship was marked by a number of things. One of those was that it was marked by honoring the other. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 4, which is not part of today's reading, describes how Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David. And taking off his robe and giving it to David was a sign of honoring David. It was a sign of voluntarily renouncing his right to the throne as King Saul's son and giving it to David. And David likewise showed David honor in chapter 20, verse 41, where David bowed down to Jonathan three times, a way of showing honor and respect to royalty. Their friendship wasn't just marked by honoring one another, it was marked by vulnerability. At the end of verse 41, it says that they kissed each other and wept together, but David wept the most. These are grown men, warrior fighters. We heard last week of Simon talking about David slaying Goliath, yet we see him crying and being vulnerable together. I think this redefines masculine friendships of what we can model to others. And can I just say, I'm not a kissy sort of guy, just to let you know, don't come and kiss me after the service, men, I wouldn't appreciate that. It's happened before, and I'm scarred by it. But this just shows the depth of vulnerability that they had in their friendship with one another, which we should all aim for in our friendships. And they had a friendship as well that they were willing to die for the other. And on top of that, they had a friendship where they promised to take care of the other's family if one of them died. In 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 3, Jonathan says to David, "But show me unfailing kindness like that of the Lord as long as I live, so that I may not be killed, and do not ever cut off your kindness from my family." They're essentially saying, "My family is your family, and your family is mine." And we see the beautiful outworking of this in 2 Samuel chapter 9 with the account of Mephibosheth, which is Jonathan's son. And Jonathan had died in battle, and it's this wonderful account of David inviting Mephibosheth to sit at his table, not just for one day, but for the rest of his life. My family is your family, and your family is mine. I think that's pretty deep, personally. David and Jonathan had a deep friendship. They would give everything for the other. And for us this morning, all of us desire deep friendship. It's one of those deep longings that every human being has, and it's arguably something that we all need. Biology shows us this. Studies have shown that there's positive neurological and hormonal effects with having friends. Having friends increases life expectancy and lowers the chance of heart disease. Theologically, God recognizes our need for friendship. In Genesis 2, we read that God gave Adam a companion, Eve, saying that it is not good for a man to be alone. And this is also the case for women as well. You do need us too, I like to say. I like to think with my wife, Claire. The very fact we've been created in the image of God means that we are shaped like the Trinitarian God, who is love and is by definition relationship. Human beings desire deep friendship, but we live in an age where there's more people than ever that are suffering from chronic loneliness. A recent study by Topshop showed that people in Generation Y, people born between 1981 and 2000, are suffering with an increasing sense of loneliness, more than any generation has before on record. Generation Y spend about 6.5 hours a day on Facebook, social media, yet they still feel lonely. And this is not just limited to that age group, as Mark prayed for in his prayers. He prayed for the elderly, and there's lots of other people in lots of different age groups and social backgrounds that feel the same. And there's no doubt in my mind that there's some of us hearing this morning, sitting in this room, who feel lonely and are longing and desiring for deep friendship in your lives. For others of us, we already have these deep friendships, but I believe we can go after something so much deeper, which is something that David and Jonathan model. Now, you might be wondering why we're even bothering talking about friendship in church, because friendships aren't necessarily exclusive. Well, they aren't exclusive to Christians. But I truly believe that if we put God at the center of all our friendships, our friendships have the ability and the potential to take on a whole new depth and dynamic. And we know that from experience too, from all of our experience. Our friendships with other Christians have this deeper depth, this extra depth. It's a kind of depth we long to have with our friends that don't know the Lord. And that's maybe a reason to pray for them. And although that's the case, that we have this deeper friendship with Christians, or we might sense that we do, we don't often take time to reflect on why that's the case, why these friendships are so much deeper than others. And I think one of those reasons is that we're in Christ, we're one in Christ. Our friendships are glued together in Him. In Christ, we're adopted by a loving Heavenly Father who invites us to be part of His new family, where we can call others, those sitting to the right and to the left of us and behind us, brothers and sisters. In Christ, our friendships with other Christians already have this extra depth. But although these friendships have an extra depth, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't or can't be intentional about having deeper friendships. And that's what I'm going to be exploring this morning, what we're all going to be exploring this morning. What can we learn from the Bible about how to have deeper friendships with others in our lives? And I think the first thing that we read from or get out of our reading from 1 Samuel chapter 20 is that deep friendships can be ordained by God. deep friendships can be ordained by God. And as I've said, all humans have the potential for deep friendship with others, not just Christians. But if God's hand's on a particular friendship, it has the potential to have so much more depth, as I've already said. And we see this in the friendship of David and Jonathan. In this case, it's obvious that God's hand was on this friendship. David and Jonathan would have probably never have met if God's hand wasn't on it. It was the case that David went to Goliath because David was anointed by Samuel and then was empowered by the Holy Spirit and equipped to do that work. And it's hard to see without his anointing and without him slaying Goliath how David and Jonathan would have ever met without God being in the picture. Now, when it comes to our own lives, it's hard to know whether God has ordained certain types of friendships. Quite often we seem to just stumble across our friends, or we build our friendships with people in the circumstances that we find ourselves in. And that is the case, but I also think that at times God places certain people in our lives that he's ordained for us. And I've heard actually lots of people talk about them praying about finding friendships like this, or praying for friends that are Christians in the workplace, for that deep friendship to encourage one another on in that pursuit of Christ. And in my experience, I remember praying before coming to Oxford University about 7 years ago now, that might tell you how old I am, that God would give me a deep friendship with another guy. And you know, God was faithful to that prayer. He didn't just give me one friendship, but he gave me a few of those really deep friendships. One of these friendships happened on the first day of coming to Oxford Uni. I was a bit of a keeno. I came a day early for a Greek class, as you do, and what a loser. But it was there that I met a friend that I would have for life, my friend Tom. And since then, we've played sport together. We've done Christian mission together. We've been bacon breakfast buddies together. We did Saturday steaks. And check this out, we did Wednesday Wetherspoons burger and chips together. Now, that I think that can actually rival Wednesday women, so I've trademarked that idea. But on a more serious note, we pray together, laugh together, and cry together. I believe God had ordained that friendship. We could have easily not been in the same Greek class. Tom could have easily disliked me because when we met, I took way more interest in his female friends than I took in Tom. And thank God that God answered my prayer and he gave me that friendship with Tom. This morning, I really believe God can ordain deep friendships in our lives. And he can do that in response to our prayers. God's the main actor, but we can still play a role in praying to God that he would provide these deep friendships. And this takes me on to the second way that the passage shows us how we can have deeper friendships. David and Jonathan's friendship was deep because they committed it to God. I remember when I was about 9 years old, and when you're a kid, you have your best friends, don't you? And so my best friend at the time was a guy called Jordan. And my friend Jordan asked me to be his spit brother. Now, it's kind of the same idea as blood brothers, but if you know what that is. But instead of sharing blood, you share spit with one another. Let that one brew while I explain what the point of this is. Now, 9-year-old Jordan explained this to me. If we really wanted our friendship to go on to a deeper level, we had to become spit brothers. Sharing our spit would be a sign that we're no longer just be friends, but would be like family. It was a sign of loyalty and commitment. We would have each other's backs. So he explained how it worked to me. So guys, I'm not going to ask you to do it, so bless you. But what you do is that you spit in your right hand. You then shake the other guy's hands, making sure the spit is like really well rubbed in. And then you become spit brothers. Pretty awesome, right? And when we talk about brotherly and sisterly friendships, David and Jonathan take their loyalty with one another onto a whole new level. Their commitment and their friendship was not based on some weird spit ritual. The reason for their deep friendship was because their friendship was based on God. It was committed to God. The way that Jonathan and David committed their friendship to God is that they made an oath to the Lord that they would love each other. 1 Samuel 20, verse 17 says, "And Jonathan made David reaffirm his oath out of love for him, because he loved him as he loved himself." We see that initial oath made a few chapters earlier. Now, can I just say, making an oath in this way to a friend is really unusual. We don't really see many examples of that in this way in the Bible, and we certainly don't see examples of making an oath to others in this way in the church today. And it does make me wonder whether we've missed something out in our deep friendships as a church. Isn't it interesting that we read so much about David and Jonathan's friendship, but in comparison, we read so little about David's marriage? But to be clear, what I'm not saying is that we should just start frantically going about making oaths of friendships to one another. If we're ever to do this, we should never go into this lightly or without a lot of prayer. And if we are asked, we shouldn't feel the pressure to say yes. But the most important thing that I wanted to highlight is that David and Jonathan's friendship was committed to God. So the question is for us here today, what might our friendships look like if we committed them to God? And yes, commitment looks like spending time with our friends. It looks like speaking with them, which sometimes I'm not very good at doing. Or it could look like my family for your family. It could look like lots of different things. But on top of that, what makes our friendships committed to God is that we commit our friendships to God in prayer. And you might be thinking, prayer, is that it? Is that all that committing things to God looks like? Well, it probably isn't the full extent, but if we haven't got prayer at the center of our friendships, then who are we committing these relationships or friendships to? And if we're not praying, then perhaps that shows us that we don't believe in the power of prayer to change or to grow our friendships under God. And when David and Jonathan committed their friendship to God, they made God their witness. By doing that, they were communicating with God, and communicating with God is prayer. So they were committing that relationship to God in prayer. For me, I'm still on a journey, like we all are, of learning how to do friendship better with others. And I'm not particularly good at it. But I have a friend in this church who is incredibly good to me and Claire, and is really good at modeling what godly friendship is in this particular way. He's been committed to me as a brotherly friend. He's modeled friendship that's more than just deep chat, but he's committed to pray for my needs every day and pray for a depth in our friendship. And I think what this guy has modeled is something that we can all model in our friendships to others, that we can pray for our friends' needs and that we'd pray for our friendships to deepen as well. David and Jonathan committed their friendship to God by oath. But whether we do that or not, I think the message of David and Jonathan's friendship is that they committed it to God in prayer. So we've seen that. So my first 2 points is that the brotherly and sisterly friendships that David and Jonathan have, well, they had brotherly friendships, they were ordained by God. and their friendships are committed to God in prayer. And finally, they are friendships that are rooted in God. I don't know if you've ever noticed that when you're not feeling close to God, or when you're not prioritizing your relationship with Him, the quality of our relationships suffer. I'll just give you an example from my own life. A couple of weeks ago, I went out for a coffee with Claire and one of our friends, and for a few hours, something had just taken all my focus, and it was really stressing me out. And I went to this coffee, and I was completely distracted. And the problem was is that I'd completely lost perspective. I completely lost the perspective that Jesus is Lord, and this was hugely insignificant from actually prioritizing God and my friend in this situation. And so this just goes to show, when we're not putting God in the center of our lives, it has a direct impact on how we relate to others. I'll just give you another example in my, not a too personal one, but in my friendship with my wife, Claire. I love her, but when I'm actively pursuing God and prioritizing God with everything that I am, God helps me to love Claire better. And you can ask Claire afterwards if she thinks that's the case. We see this in the Bible as well. The quality of friendships we have with others is affected by whether people are rooted in God or not. Take the relationship between King Saul and David. When King Saul's relationship with God was fractured and not rooted in God, we see this impacts on his relationship with David. Instead of blessing David and thanking him for how he had been, the Lord had used his hand to save Israel and Judah, instead, he was jealous of David and tried to kill him. But if we contrast that with the relationship between David and Jonathan, their friendship was rooted in God. And we see this in so many ways in this passage, and I just want to give you two examples. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 14 shows us that they always did their friendship in reference to God. So in verse 14 it says, "But show me unfailing kindness like that of the Lord as long as I live." And in verse 23, Jonathan says, "Remember, the Lord is witness between you and me forever." It's just so blatant that their relationship, their friendship was focused and rooted in God. And what I also find interesting is that this is something that Jesus taught us and talked about in the Gospels. In John 15, Jesus teaches that he is the vine and we are the branches. To love Jesus means that we need to be rooted in him and to obey his commands. And to obey his commands means that we need to love one another like Jesus loved us. There's a direct relationship between loving Jesus and being rooted in Jesus and how we relate to others. Being rooted in Jesus means that God's love in us and through us can be perfected in our love for others. And this is not to say that people who don't know the Lord can't love. They certainly can. Some of the most loving people that we might know may not know the Lord. But what's clear is that what gives our friendships extra depth and perfects our love for others is that we're rooted in God. There's so many ways in which we can be active in rooting our friendship in God. David showed this through his life of worship, how he confessed his sins to the Lord, how he interceded, how he cried out to God, and how he lived a life of integrity, of wholeness. And this morning, you may have come to church, and this talk on friendship may leave you feeling really excited about how you're going to deepen those friendships with others, or it might have the opposite effect and may make you feel not so great. But whoever you are, I'd love to give some perspective on friendship. And here it is. The God of the universe, the one who created life itself, the one who raised Jesus from the dead, loves you. He not only loves you, but he likes you as well. Ephesians 1, chapter 5, talks about how God takes delight in us and takes pleasure in us. That's just such a rich thing. And then when God became man in Jesus Christ, Jesus said that he is the friend of sinners, which is every single one of us here, in case you didn't know. Jesus also said, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. God himself offers us friendship. When we root ourselves in him, we can enjoy in fullness that friendship and the pleasure of being in his presence. So one part of this morning is to remember we can go back to the Lord. We can be deeply rooted in him. But I also believe friendship with others is something that we can pray for, and God can answer these prayers. That's been the case in my life, and I truly believe that's the case in everyone's lives here today. But I think in praying these sort of prayers for deep friendship, we need to be self-aware. We can pray that God would give us friends out there or deepen our friendships out there. But maybe instead, we need to ask God how we can be good friends to others. It's asking God, God, can you change and transform my heart so I can be a better friend to those around me? And deep friendships are not called to be exclusive. That's not God's vision for his people. God's vision is that we love the neighbor, the visitor, the least in our society. Our deep friendships with others are meant to be outward looking. This is what Jesus and his disciples did. They were mates together. They went around doing stuff with one another, but they wanted to serve one another and to serve others in those friendships. It was always outward looking. So as I end, let's draw close to God and know of his friendships. Friendship. Let's commit our friends to God in prayer, and let's be rooted in God so that we can be better friends to others.